I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. At Lighthouse, we're celebrating 25 years in business and just entering our 12th year of doing open lines. We have a few new exciting changes. First, we have a new 2020 open line format that comes with the launching of our new website. You can also find an archive of past topics on our publication event tab. We've covered over all these years anything you can think about from a business standpoint. It's probably under the publication event tab, so it's all available to everybody. Our third book, Cracking the High Performance Team Code, is now available either through our website or you can purchase it through Amazon. We also are offering which are perfect workshops for today's environment. They're remote workshops on stress and time management, leadership, and mentoring workshops. Our topic today, which is going to be a panel discussion, is on laying people off from an HR perspective. We're going to talk about outplacement for both senior and general staff members. And I have to say, it's unfortunate that we have to have this discussion today, but I'm so grateful that we have just an amazing panel that they're just at the top of their game. And I feel very privileged to have them on Open Line. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, and we'll be hosting our program today. We have just a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the very first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insight to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar and assist companies with a variety of other services, such as skills testing, 360s, interpersonal coaching, team building, stress and time management workshops, and much, much more. We also have a new program, or it's an old program that we've reinstituted. It's something you'll want to consider for your employees. It's a wellness assistance program. It's kind of like an EAP, but without the monthly cost. So it's very, very cost effective, and it will help a lot of people as they have a need for counseling or just somebody to talk to. Our goal is to make this an interactive program. So on your screen, you'll see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights along the way. At the conclusion of the program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guests. So just make notes, or you can just put it in the chat box either way. I'm going to do a short introduction today of our guests, but again, these folks are at the top of their game and have tremendous experience on this topic and are all close friends of mine and business associates, and I'm, again, just so grateful to have you guys. So I want to introduce Lorraine. Lorraine is the president of Ontagio HR, which is a national HR consulting firm, and all of her consultants are just over the top on response time and knowledge, and Lorraine's company is our HR organization too, and I have to say I'm just very, very, I couldn't be a happier camper.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Why don't I introduce Dan Hammond. Dan is a senior consultant with Lighthouse, and he'll be sharing ideas on helping all of us of how to work through a transition with staff members if they are needing to be laid off or furloughed. He has some wonderful ideas of how to support them. Then we have Dr. Tenny Mickey, who is also a senior consultant with Lighthouse, and will share ideas around offering outplacement programs to individuals at a more senior level, let's say. So I want to welcome all of you again, and let's start off with Lorraine, and I'm going to kick it off with a question for Lorraine.
Fabulous.
Are there any advantages currently to laying someone off now versus waiting to see if things improve or all of a sudden the economy, everything's open from the governmental standpoint, they allow it?
Thank you. That's a really, really good question. And it's honestly one that many of our phone calls during the day are about, with clients trying to troubleshoot the right solution for each company. The one clear advantage to not waiting right now is the federal increase in unemployment benefits that are available for employees. So typically an employee, if they either have a reduction in hours and pay or if they're completely laid off, they qualify for some amount of unemployment insurance depending upon formulas and tables as prescribed by the different state labor departments. And right now, anyone that qualifies for any amount of state unemployment is going to receive an additional $600 per week, and that really is per week, of federal unemployment money. And that is a benefit that will run through the end of July. So we've actually run the math. I mean, we've seen companies that have sat down and spreadsheeted this to try and make sure they're keeping their employees as whole as possible. With that additional unemployment benefit right now, it could be a win-win because the company could be saving the payroll money in times where maybe it's hard to afford, and the employees can be made whole. Honestly, some people end up making more collecting the unemployment benefits than had they stayed fully employed. So if you're going to ultimately have to lay somebody off, or you're questioning whether you're going to have to, and you're deciding between sooner or later, it's important to understand that that benefit is there through the end of July.
Wow, that's good to know. A question just came in for Lorraine's topic. We're hearing from clients that PPP money is starting to come in. Will layoffs impact the PPP loan forgiveness? If so, how can you avoid that?
Yeah, I will send Dana some information to disseminate. There is a rather complex way that they come up with a formula that becomes a coefficient, and they look at your headcount from a base period, and then they look at your headcount at the time you're going through the loan forgiveness, and you proportionately would get your forgiveness reduced by basically the percentage or the proportion of headcount that you've had drop. Now, the challenge that we're facing is that as of right now, we are still lacking a little bit of clarity about how they actually calculate that headcount. Everything is based on full-time employee equivalent, and the SBA has not told us if they're going to use the same 30 hours a week as considered full-time that, for example, under health insurance, ACA rules you use, whether it's going to be 40 hours a week. So we don't really know. We don't know if it's going to be based on actual hours worked or somebody simply being on payroll. You know, for example, if somebody retires or goes on a maternity leave, does that count against you? So unfortunately, we're very much hoping that the SBA is going to issue additional guidelines that's going to help us get our arms better around how that calculation will work. But yes, layoffs could definitely impact your PPP forgiveness. Now, you do have the ability to lay people off and rehire them by the end of June, and then that wouldn't count against you. So I'll come up with some bullet points that explain what we do know as of right now, share that with the folks at Lighthouse, and they can push it out to all of you.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Thank you. And what are some alternatives right now for employers when considering layoffs?
So some of the alternatives are, you know, there's what we call a furlough. That's sort of in gray territory, somewhere in between being a leave of absence and a layoff, where you commit to it being short-term. Many states have either already in place or are being encouraged now by the federal government to put programs in place where the employer, I'll give you the example, in California it's called Workshare Program. I think New York calls it something very similar as well. The employer petitions to the unemployment department and says, look, we anticipate a short-term layoff, and you get a group of people approved in the pool. You cut back hours to a certain extent permissible based on what your state's rules and regulations for that program are. And then week by week, the employer continues to certify that people, for example, have continued to work 3 days but are off two. Doing that type of program, actually, the employees stay employed, you keep their benefits in place, and they get a larger benefit from unemployment than they would if they were just unemployed and went and applied. So that's a program that if you can deploy it at your company, it is really a great alternative to thinking about laying people off. That's one that's out there. There's the PPP programs, as one of our guests just inquired about, so loans that would help float payroll for you to get through the tough times. For people that don't apply for the PPP, there's also several different types of economic injury disaster relief, EIDL, which are SBA loans. There's additionally a program available right now. If you don't get one of the types of SBA or PPP loans, employers are able to significantly defer when they have to pay their payroll taxes. Half of the employer taxes being able to be pushed through the end of 21, and the other half only needing to be paid by the end of 2022, which could be a huge help. And then on top of that, there is a credit. And once again, this credit is only available, I should clarify, if you do not avail yourself of one of the SBA or PPP loans. But you can get a credit up to $5,000 per employee that you continue to pay during this period. And that comes back to you as the employer in the form of a credit against payroll taxes.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a lot out there. They're all a little bit different. The one that's going to be just right for your company could be a combination of those. It could potentially be some layoffs and some work share and, you know, one form of the loan. But it's a bit of a jigsaw puzzle, but there's a lot of different options. And I have been encouraging companies to not jump the gun to layoff decisions, but to explore these other options. Take your time, you know, spreadsheet it out, get some good advice, and figure out what's going to be a win-win as best as possible for you and your employees.
Wow. And it also shows the importance. There's a lot of misinformation that I've heard going around. Lorraine is just so knowledgeable on all these topics. So, and as with all of our guests, that if you have questions after the program, they're more than happy to talk with you and just bounce some ideas around. So, Lorraine, one more question for you. Then we'll get Tenny to share some ideas. What are some things to be careful about if you are doing a layoff?
Well, if you are laying people off, it's important to be careful about how you pick who you're laying off, because even though we're a little bit operating in necessity panic mode right now, we've got to be very cautious of our typical discrimination, harassment, retaliation lawsuits. We know from prior experience that when we go through a down economy, there is a significant uptick in employment-related lawsuits. People are upset and desperate and need to take care of their families, and one of the alternatives that they end up looking at is bringing an action against their employers. So still scrutinize your decisions about who gets furloughed, who gets laid off carefully, to make sure that you're not overly impacting a certain class of people, that you're being very, very fair and unbiased. You need to think about health insurance and COBRA. Right now, the insurance carriers have been instructed by the federal government and are showing grace with allowing you to keep people on your health insurance for a little longer than you might normally before you have to COBRA them. So that's something to think about. It's also important to think about our final pay requirements. Even if you furlough somebody, if you don't have an anticipated return to work date, you might be triggering the requirement to treat it from a payroll purpose as a final check, and having to pay people according to your state rules about the timing of the final check, as well as in some areas, depending on state law, we have an obligation to pay out any accrued vacation. And then one other point I would suggest people be very careful about is with the new FFCRA, Families First Coronavirus Act, for companies that are under 500 employees, where employees can exercise this right to take time off either for sickness reasons or for an extended new type of FMLA leave. be cautious about making termination decisions if somebody has exercised their rights under those laws, because you don't want to end up on the wrong side of a retaliation complaint. So all the good HR practices that we have had up to date, we've got to remember that even though we're operating, like I said, a little bit in necessity panic mode, we've got to slow down, take a deep breath, and think those things through.
Those are very sage advice. Thank you.
Yes, you're very welcome.
Great information. Dr. Tenney. So Tenney's going to share some ideas around outplacement. So Tenney, a lot of people don't understand outplacement or what it is. So could you share what it is?
Sure. But before I do that, Lorraine has done a wonderful job explaining all the technical aspects that people must pay attention to. And a part of the work that I do focuses on the communications of all of that. And during layoffs and in outplacements as well, good communication is just so absolutely critical. And first of all, in the planning and in the implementation of the layoffs and carrying out all of the things that Lorraine just spoke to. And this information often isn't pleasant. But employees want to hear it directly, and they want to hear it honestly. And otherwise, they will go with the rumor mill, and that's never good for any of us. So honest communication, I think, is one of the key ingredients when you're managing any kind of change, especially one as it relates to layoffs. And also giving the employees an opportunity to speak, two-way communication, acknowledging that there are reasons for this, acknowledging that you are concerned about how they might be affected. You can even understand some of the attitudes that people are coming. So I come at it from the psychological aspect of it, too, is to think about, in addition to all the technical and legal things that you must consider, let's make sure that the communications are important. As it relates to outplacement, we're not doing a lot of that during this time. Mainly, we're focusing on layoffs. But outplacement is a chance for usually executives or people who might be able to be considered high potential people are given an opportunity to transition from one position to another. And usually, the organization sponsors the cost of outplacement. There are outplacement agencies, and they work with coaches such as myself who help them understand several aspects. First of all, the coaches think in terms of how they can contribute to their own careers at a higher level. So they're not just being kicked out of an organization. They're thinking about going to the next place. And sometimes this happens even during layoffs. And now that everyone is home, this is a really good time for people to think in terms of how they might manage their careers once things return to a sense of normalcy of some sort. And during outplacement, some of the things that we typically focus on are levels of self-awareness, helping people become more aware of who they are, how they present in the work environment, how others work well with them, or how the improvements that they can make. It's also an interesting time to enhance their self-confidence, to think in terms of having maybe a more balanced life and to do some goal settings and to lower the levels of stress. So what we think about are critical listening, helping people understand how to change some of the behaviors or shift some of the behaviors that might suit them better in the next employment.
Thank you. That's great. And Tenney works with more or less say senior executives. So, Tenney, how do you suggest, let's say, the CEO would probably be the one that presents the outplacement package to the senior executive. Any thoughts for the CEO of how to frame that?
Yeah, I think, again, honesty is always the best policy. And this is an opportunity for an executive to really think about the changes that are coming afoot. Actually, now with COVID-19, we're going to see a renewed work environment. And outplacement, contrary to what many people think, it's not happening now because we're focused on layoffs, but some people are actually looking at outplacement as an opportunity to augment some of the layoffs that they have. And so the way that senior executives typically speak to them is that they make a real compelling case as to why the senior executives, the position is being eliminated, or it's better if, you know, they look at other opportunities. Usually that has a financial stimulus that comes from the organization that encourages people to look at other things. And the senior CEOs typically talk to them about assessing their skills and how they can think in terms of what's new, what's different, how might they apply the skills that they have in a new environment, and anticipate 2021, because now it's pretty, it's looking pretty interesting for the remainder of 20. It's a hard sell, honestly, to make for 20, but if people can bridge and prepare for post-COVID, some of the things we said at the top of it, how we see people are becoming a bit more humane or more conscious of others in terms of not just the content of the job, but more how people are feeling and doing. Some of those things are absolutely enhanced through outplacement. And certainly one of the things that senior executives often talk about is how people can have more time of better relationships and better relationships with their families. And sometimes a career change will allow people to refocus on the purpose of having family and friends and life other than just work.
That's great. And for the senior executive, Tenny, does that help to reduce the potential for a lawsuit also by offering outplacement?
It does. It helps quite a bit. Usually with the senior executive, they are not always as litigious because they are thinking in terms of the network. And so they have their personal brands that they're concerned with. And the brand is to move on and to seek something as quickly or as equal to what they had done before. So although they will typically have legal assistance as they are negotiating their out packages, because that does help them get as much as they can. Maybe it's an extended term for outplacement. Maybe it's a vacation pay. Maybe it's bridging their salaries to a certain time. So they do negotiate, but it's all typically not always in good faith, not always easy, but typically it's such that they consider their brand first, because if they're looking for other opportunities, then they want to make sure that they are not considered a high risk at a high level in another organization.
That's good insight. I was at the Milken Global Economic Conference a number of years ago, and they had the CEO of Safeway stores, grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
He was on a panel, and he was talking about when laying off or furloughing individuals, or it's just time to make a change with someone, change them out. And he shared very openly that he had a person that had been with him for 25 years, and the company had outgrown the individual, so he was going to have to make a change. And he said, here I am, I've been to graduations of his children, and from birth to graduations and everything in between, and going over to the home as personal friends, and here he was at this junction point of having to let him go. And he says one of the most difficult things in his life he ever had to do. But one of the things he said was he was very open and honest, just like Tenny had mentioned, and had a meeting with the individual and said, I probably don't need to tell you this, but we have to make a change here because you know it's just not working. And the individual came back and said, I know. So the CEO of Safeway said, look, we're going to continue paying you your regular salary with benefits until you find another position. And as long as you're working hard to do that, we're going to support you in that, and we're going to assign you a coach to work with you for outplacement. No lawsuits. They continued their friendship. All the worrying that the CEO had done was for naught, because the person he had to let go or make a change out already knew it was a problem. So I think a very good point about being up front like that. Tammy, do you have any other thoughts before we go to Dan?
You know, I think that's a great idea, what the president of Safeway did. You want to create an atmosphere that supports the person, and just by building trust and demonstrating honesty and inclusiveness, that's what he did. He respected the relationship that he had with the person he was laying off, and it just suited both of them, and it made for a nice transition. So thanks for sharing that story about Safeway. That's really good to know. I'll use it, Dana.
Oh, please.
Hey, Dana, this is Lorraine. Can I ask a question to you guys before we move away from this topic?
Sure.
I was wondering if, you know, we all sort of think of outplacement as something, as you mentioned, you would typically offer to a senior-level executive. We're starting to hear people get more creative with the concept and explore, like, hey, can I just, for more of my rank-and-file employees, can I just hire someone to help them, you know, dust off their resume? Or can I hire someone for just an hour or two of their time to help somebody create a LinkedIn account if they don't have one? So, you know, maybe mini outplacement, I don't know what you would call it, but are you guys seeing that at all? And could you comment on that?
That's what Dan does.
I'm
seeing it. What a perfect segue.
Yes.
Kenny, I mean, did you have a comment?
No, Dan, take it.
Okay. Dan, so Dan specializes in helping organizations, not only from a coaching standpoint like Tammy does, but also if there's a number of staff members that you're not going to spend money on a senior person necessarily, but you want to support your other staff members for putting together resumes or whatever it is, or for preparing for going out into the job world. So, Dan, there are so many things that we're told we need to do when starting a job search. Can you share a career management framework that can help people in need to organize their activities and channel their energies towards a successful job search, and what you do in your practice in order to help people reduce that fear when there is a layoff or people are being furloughed?
Absolutely, Dana. Thank you. This is really vital, the concept of career management and a framework for that, because a job search is a huge project with lots and lots of moving parts. And really what I find that works for people is to come up with a process of self-assessment, of research, of planning, and a follow-through, and those things together, not just linearly, but in a cycle, are what really needs to manage your career. So let's start with self-assessment, and we want to understand what our unique personality, what our strengths, what our interests and values are. Really, you know, it's like, what makes us tick? What are we good at? Or in what kind of situations and environments do we thrive? Because I tell people that what we enjoy may not be what our job title means, so we have to be very aware of who we are, what we like to do, where we thrive, so that we can really narrow in on the types of opportunities that are great for us. So from that foundation, I think people need to go and then use that information to research, identify jobs and companies that are compatible with who they are. Just for example, obviously if you're an introvert and, you know, there's this industry or company that is full of extroverts, may not be a good thing. Or if you're more of an analyzer in a creative setting, or if you're all about deep work and you are considering a company which is known for lots of interruptions and lots of maybe chaos or maybe call it creative energy, that just might not be a good place for you. Also, a company's mission, their values, you need to find the ones that have the mission and values that you respect, that resonate with you. There's nothing more discouraging than being involved with a company that is just at odds with the things that you hold dear. So from that, after that, I think the framework is one of making an inventory of what the needs of the market are. And really, in other words, it's like, what are the skills and experiences that interesting jobs are asking for? And then we just face that head on. Like, do we have those skills? Do we have the experiences the market needs today? And I find over and over, and most of the time we do, people have this experience. They just need to learn how to present those skills and those experiences in a way that matches the market needs. And in the cases where people don't have those experiences or skills, then we just have to put a plan to go and get those skills and experiences, right? And then finally, we just create tools and run the campaigns to achieve our goals, right, our job goals, and really campaigns. I'm really talking about, this is a marketing effort, right? You're out there to create a customer, somebody's going to give you a position, give you a job. So just wrapping up this, thank you, Dana. It's a big question, but wrapping up, for me, the optimal career management framework starts with understanding who we are, and that allows us to determine what the right opportunities are. We then take that market, in other words, that set of opportunities, identify skills and experience. We close the gaps, meaning we develop the skills. We find connections to the company or job or get others to vouch for us. And then we follow through on the strategy to land the next job. I mean, these are tough economic times. Some of us have seen this before, maybe once, maybe twice, maybe more. So there's also some pragmatism that's needed. You may need to come up with a plan A, a plan B, and a plan C, because maybe the first opportunity, while valuable because you need income and you need to put food on the table, may not be the right one long term. So just think about that. And of course, interim work, gigs. So there's lots of organizations there for finance professionals, for other type of folks that are just gigs that you can take on a temporary interim basis. So that's the career framework that I help people with. Just Jane, I just want to ask just a couple more minutes to just share with our listeners what competencies are needed today, regardless of jobs. I think we all know this, or we've heard of it, but certainly number one is critical thinking and problem solving. Number two is communication skills. Number three is teamwork, collaboration. Four is professionalism, work ethic. And the next one is becoming even more and more important, just digital technology expertise. What does that mean? That just means that all of us in our jobs, we need to know how to leverage technology to efficiently solve problems. And then last couple ones, leadership and multicultural fluency. So I ask people that they make sure that they look back on all their previous projects and jobs, and they have examples in each of those areas that they can be ready to discuss with a potential employer or networking contact. So sorry about the long answer, but this is really exciting for me, and it's more just on a set of things. Just really put a framework and put the plan together and just execute.
Thank you. That's great. And also, if any of you do have to do layoffs and you want to give your staff members support and not just hand them, here's a little book, read the book, good luck, have a nice day. I think one of the things that Dan has done when there's 5 people or 10 people or 50 people or 100 people being let go has put together a very congruent program where so people do feel supportive and just not out there. And it's important also, I think, for the company to provide the support, because it's very cost effective. Because let's say you want to bring some of them back, or maybe all of them sooner or later, and you don't want negative vibes out there about your company that, oh, they just handed me a check and here I go, but rather the organization is a caring one. So, Dan, what are some of the tools and skills that someone in transition needs to develop and have ready for, whether there's someone's a janitor or a warehouse person or an administrative assistant?
Yeah, thank you, Dana. And just before I answer that, I think what you said is just very important. It's not just a check or here's a book. It's beyond that. It's showing that we care about these people, right? That these people helped build our companies. They contributed. They're our friends. So we want to help them out in multiple ways, in just the actual act of doing something with them to help them succeed. So in terms of tools and skills that somebody in transition needs, I mean, some of these apply to some professions more than others, but let me just do a quick run through those. A resume, of course, a professional headshot. I mean, there's lots of places out there that will do that for free for you, so no need to worry about cost. A LinkedIn profile, maybe also profiles on other social media sites. Lorraine mentioned that a company is starting to hire professionals to help people with that. That's a great idea. We help with that as well. So, you know, if time is of the essence and you need help, then absolutely, there are lots of very good people out there doing this work. Next thing I would recommend is having an elevator pitch. And we've all heard about what that means. It's basically a very quick sentence that when you meet someone or you want to leave sort of a very compelling sort of, this is what I do, you have that ready. Usually, let's say you're a product manager, and then it could go something like, oh, I help companies build better software products that get to market faster. Right there, boom, and a story. So that leaves a compelling and clear message in someone's head that that's what you do. Executive bios, this is for more senior people, but these are just documents that are very, very useful in networking. They can paint really a more comprehensive picture of who you are and what you do. Sometimes more than a resume, and sometimes even before a resume, that bio will open doors for you. Job search resources, if you're a finance member or a finance professional there or an engineer, there's things like Association for Corporate Growth, there's IEEE, all sorts of areas where you can network and have resources available to you. A list of target companies, people want to help. We were talking about earlier how like people are really genuinely helping others. So when somebody says, how can I help you, you want to have that ready. You want to have, here's my list of target companies. I would love an introduction to anybody you know there. Learning how to network effectively is not difficult, but it takes practice. So just get out of practice and get advice from others or a professional if you don't have someone who's been doing this for a while. Interviews, be prepared. This is a great thing because you will be coming as an outsider. So use that outsider sort of situation to ask basic questions and be ready with ideas, bring ideas on how to solve problems. It's what I call doing the job during the interview. You want to demonstrate that you understand what the company is facing and that you can bring some ideas and solutions to the table. Kenny mentioned earlier on about physical and mental health. That's important. Don't overlook that. Just work it into your schedule in terms of how to keep just active, both mentally and physically. Presentations. I am hearing more and more employers asking interview candidates to do a presentation. So be ready. And what the employer is looking for is the ability to communicate ideas, analyze situations, and propose solutions. Also, I think they want to make sure that you are proficient in either industry or company standard tools like obviously PowerPoint or Keynote or Microsoft Teams, all of those things. And most importantly, I think with a presentation, you are making business case for hiring you. So make sure that you have a great presentation and you practice it and again, seek help, get friends to review it for you and all of that. Then just some logistics. Just get personal accounts in Zoom and a CRM system to track all your opportunities, something like HubSpot. They're both free, and they're very easy to use. So I hope that it's a long list, but hopefully that helps, Dana.
And that's the kind of support that Dan will give when engaging with Lighthouse for different levels and for Tenny also. And I wanted to just loop around before we open up the line for everybody. If you guys could share maybe one summary idea, Lorraine, from an HR standpoint, and Tenny and Dan for outplacement and supporting those that are going to be let go at whatever level. So why don't we go around the room and start with Lorraine.
Something I have shared with clients over the years, and I think it's all the more important now. I know we heard you mentioned a lot about the communication being so important. I like to tell clients that the message that you tell the employees that are not laid off is as if not more important than the message you tell the people that are laid off. And it doesn't mean that you share confidential details about the people that are laid off, but communicating what's going on to the people that stay so that they're not worried and scared and waiting for the shoe to drop. And it's the opportunity for you to demonstrate that if down the road someday the same thing is going to happen to them, that you dealt with it as an employer in a kind and professional and compassionate and manner, allowing the people that are leaving to retain their dignity. So, again, the folks that are still there after the layoff, the need to sit down and handhold and communicate very effectively with them is as important as the script that you give to the person on their way out the door.
Thank you. That's really good advice.
You're welcome.
Tenny?
Thanks, Dan. You know, Dana, I think, and what Lorraine says is absolutely perfect, because we do need to remember that there are people who will be left behind, and many of them will have some experiences of guilt or anger or feeling as if they're being piled upon now to do more work. So it is important that leaders are sensitive to the people who remain. But again, I think the more that organizations can offer support to the employees who are leaving and those who are staying, and just acknowledge some of the feelings that people are going through, that there will be feelings of resistance or anger or sense of loss, but to discuss it and discuss the responses that people might have to that, to show that this loss can be balanced by some advantages of the future. And we don't know what the post-COVID world is going to look like, but certainly there will be some advantages that are there. And any tools that they can offer, some of the wonderful things that Dan spoke about, we could augment that, you know, provide tools. There's a lot of resources that are available to help people through transitions, books, et cetera, training, any information that can help people with the transitions, both with outplacement and with layoff, I think would be a wonderful thing for organizations to do.
Perfect. Thank you. Dan?
Yeah, a couple of things. Just I want to encourage people that are facing this difficult situation that that this is hard when you do it on your own, when you reach out to friends, when you reach out to a network, when you start building that network, you'll be amazed how much empathy and how much people are willing to help you. So don't think that you're on your own, and it's because it's just worse if you think that way. So seek out friends, seek out coaches if you think they would help you with any of these issues. And also what Tenny and Lorraine said, I echo the idea of companies helping out. So one thing that I think would be very useful, because it's hard to get sort of technology these days because of disruptions in the supply chain, employers, consider providing computers or transferring software licenses to employees who will be laid off. get your IT department to set all of that up for employees so that they can hit the ground running during the transition. It doesn't cost much. It builds great will, and you're saving someone a lot of time and headache in just getting the basics ready to start that job search. Again, Lorraine also talked about healthcare. I think it's super important. As a company, look for ways that you can help people. Healthcare is just probably one of the most important needs right now, and hopefully we can support employees that way too.
Perfect. Thank you very much. We're going to open up the line in just a minute so you can ask questions directly of Lorraine, Tanny, and Dan. Hey, that's a nice team, huh? It just has a nice flow to it. Well, we have a number of people that are attending today. So what I'd ask everyone to do is to put your phone on mute. Please don't put your phone on hold because we'll all hear Muzak at that moment. So put your phone on mute, and then when you have a question, just unmute it. So give me 1 second here, and we'll be right back so I can open up the line. Okay, the line is now open. So any particular questions you guys might have with our guests, please feel free to throw them out. Sometimes people are quiet. And all of a sudden. So I would also encourage anyone attending today to, a lot of people have questions, but they don't want to make it public, to just reach out to Lorraine, Tanny, or Dan, and they'll be more than generous with their time on sharing ideas of how to approach this unfortunate topic. So do you guys have any closing thoughts other than what you just shared?
Yeah, I have one. I think we've all seen this, but just remind people that employers are using more and more automation to review applications and interview candidates and all that. So that marketing effort, that sort of management of your career with networking and other things, that is even more important today.
Good point. Tanny, Lorraine, anything else you'd like to share before we let everybody go off to meetings? Well, I want to thank our panelists for participating. This is a tough subject to talk about, but it's one that needs to be talked about with your team. And what was brought up constantly through the discussion today was communicate, and stay in touch with those that you had to let go because you may want to bring them back later on. And as Lorraine Tenney brought up, and Dan, to communicate with those that are left of what's going on with the company and just keep them well informed. Wish everybody a safe afternoon, and love to have you back on Open Line, and thank you for attending. Next month we'll send out notices, or next week actually. We're doing these weekly now until we get through this the virus issue, because we get so many questions that are coming in for topics to be discussed, and that's how we come about with these topics, is from those that attend. So thank you so much. Have a great rest of the day, and we shall all talk soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dana.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dana. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.